Let's get to the bat phone.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like Zizi Jamet. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. You live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel. Yes, you do. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed?
Arguably one of the best songs ever to come out of the 1960s, and it's my great pleasure to say a very good day and welcome to Peter Sarsted.
What? Thank you very much. Thanks, Vince.
Well, that is, it's one of those pivotal songs where I believe many, many people can still remember the words, can remember, what they were doing at that time. And, the debate still rages. Who was it really about?
it wasn't about anyone. It was just a construct, really, of a type of European girl. I think I've been in France recently. I wrote it in 1966, so I was in Copenhagen, and I'd just been in France, so with a nose pressed up against the window pane of the expensive restaurants and so on.
Yeah.
And it was a construct. I knew a little bit about French culture, but not a lot.
And the funny thing is, I've been looking around the websites and there's all these debates raging, so it's nice to have a definitive answer.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm doing is I'm talking to people that made these great songs of the 60s and of the era, but certainly of the 60s. It's nice to actually have somebody tell you the exact thing rather than it's passed down the line.
Oh, yeah. It's very important that a song gets nailed down. So
yes.
That you have a definitive idea of what it's actually meant to be.
Yes.
Because a lot of people fantasize about it. And in a way, I suppose that's right, because you want a song to have an open ending, as it were. You want a song to be all meaning and have many meanings.
But you must be so proud of your achievement, because here we are, 2007, 1969. You got your award, didn't you, in 1969?
Yes, it was 1969 when it came out, March 69.
Yeah.
You've had your moments of wonderful feelings, and but nowadays I try for a feeling of complete contentment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just they only happen every now and then, sort of fleetingly. But moments of a very happy moments, and I try for those.
Yeah. Your family, are so talented. I when I read these things, that I think we all knew, obviously, Eden Kane, but some of us maybe hadn't all twigged that you've got a third brother who also has been very successful.
Well, yes, exactly. He's had his moments in the charts, and he lives in Oaxaca. In fact, we're very close by where you are.
Yes. Yes.
And he's out there at the moment. So, but at the moment, he is mainly a guitarist and a singer, and he likes to play the blues, and he likes to pick his guitar. So, it's miles away from his record, which was My Resistance Is Low, which was a kind of 1940s idea.
It was a nice song, actually.
Yeah.
I did like that one. It was 76, I think, if my memory's
right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very good song. But they manufactured it in a way. They actually produced the record from the original dots, original music of the 1940s film. So so the guys were playing already playing music which was 30 years old, actual sheet music.
Yeah.
So... In that way, it was very nice, and they used old microphones and things like that. So it was a very unique sound.
And can I ask you about, you know, as just as you came to England, which I'm reading was 1954.
Yeah, right.
When you started as a skiffle group, the three brothers, were you all together all the time as this group?
Well, we started as a band together. My elder brother brought a guitar home one day, and we all learned to play it. We took it in turns. But he said to me, my elder brother, he said, look, if I play the guitar, you play the T-chess bass. And we'll have my brother on, my younger brother, Clive. I think he also played guitar. But I was allocated the T-chess bass. And so later, it turned into a bass guitar. So I was always the bass guitarist in the band. And we did start together, but not for long. We split up after that into various rock outfits.
And of course, although many people will hear the phrase as soon as they hear your name, that you know, brother of Eden Cain, you don't really always hear the other way round, which is rather strange to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, no. But the thing is, he came first. So he was always and he's the elder brother. So
yes,
it's kind of deference to him. I'm Eden Cain's brother, rather than the other way around.
It's interesting to me this because I've got three boys, and you know, maybe it gives me an insight as to the way they feel. You know, but I mean, when I first heard Eden's "Well, I Ask You." That is so different in its style to your song, and yet, you know, you all mixed and grew up together, and, you know.
Yes, I mean, you know, with the brothers, it's kind of unique in a way that we're all of a separate generation. I'm of the more freaky generation. my younger brother is a more rock-orientated sort of player. He's basically an electric player. Whereas I'm an acoustic player, and my elder brother doesn't play anything at all, although he's very musical. He also plays harmonica and things like that. But he was more of a guided, in the very beginning, in 1961, you know, when he appeared, things were slightly different as they were in 1969.
Yes.
And they were also very different in 1976, so the conditions were different in England.
And of course, around 69, I think it was more sort of flower power, wasn't it? 67 to 69, about it was a softer sort of music very often.
Well, but the Beatles had split up in, I think, 1969, and Sir Hendrix had died, and various things happened, and singer-songwriters seemed to be the order of the day.
Yes.
A kind of Cat Stevens-like. I remember meeting him and sort of having a cup of tea with him and things like that up at a producer's house. So it was very much a period when, it was the end of the 60s anyway, wasn't it? 1969. It was over basically by then.
Yes.
The actual, you know, Beatle music was over. So, but it was a time of consolidation, really.
Your success, though, was really quite international, because I think about 15 or 16 countries you did well in.
Well, I mean, because of the World Service of the BBC, I was very attentive to the World Service. I did a lot of things for them, for not much money. But I was advised to do them, and I'm very glad I did. So I became a world figure. I'm very well known up the Orinoco, by the way.
Yeah.
But they wear my records. They nail them into their heads and they spin them around, but they don't know quite what to do with them. So, I thank the World Service for that.
Yeah. Another part of your successful life is that you were entered for the Golden Rose of Montreux.
Mm.
And how did that affect your career?
Well, it kind of affected my career in that it gave me another layer of experience of television. I was able to say no to television because I didn't feel... I mean, you know, the thing is that you could get to know the name of the doorman and things like that at the BBC and various other places. And you don't really want to know the name of the doorman. An artist, you know, like, his ambition shouldn't be to work for the BBC or somebody else. A full-time gig, you know.
Yes.
You are trying to be creative, and as a result, you want your freedom, you know.
Mm.
That's what it gave me, in a way, being experienced on television and so on.
Yes. I was absolutely quite surprised when I realised that, you know, three of you have had this fantastic success. Mm. And what intrigues me always is where you originally got your influences. Was it mum and dad, or was it school?
I think it was England, because in 1954, when we arrived, we weren't particularly musical or anything like that. We, as young men, but. So gradually, when these sort of rock and skiffle era started around about 1956, we were inspired by the local guys and, of course, the Americans, who were very influential, like Elvis and people like that, were extremely influential to us. We were guys who listened with the radio to Radio Luxembourg and so on.
Yeah.
You know, we started off on that one. And we became very influenced by it. So whether the mother and father were influential, I can remember my father actually playing some music for us on harmonica. He used to stand in the doorway as we'd all be asleep or pretending to be asleep. He would stand and he would play a song for us on the harmonica, sort of out of sight in the corridor. And like it would help with us sleeping and everything. So maybe it was that, but I also had half-sisters who were into music.
Yes.
My mother was a concert violinist. So I don't know. Maybe the influence comes down, but it wasn't a conscious thing.
I was chuckling to myself because I used to take my guitar up to the kids' bedroom and try and get them to go to sleep. They were probably kidding me every bit the same as you were kidding as well.
That's a very good thing because it has a subliminal effect on them.
Yes.
I think that it's very important that.
Yeah, I think they quite enjoyed it, actually. And, you know, my youngest, who's a little older these days, a lot taller than me, you know, he still tells me that he enjoyed it anyway.
Oh, well, that's good.
Well, now, if there's anything I can do to, point our listeners into the greater way that they can get to enjoy your music, is it best to go to the website these days?
Yes, I think so. Although I'm not actually doing a lot of live work. I'm mainly interested in the PRS Members Fund and sort of various other charitable things at the moment. So I haven't got a huge amount of gigs where people can go. But the website is very interesting, I think.
Well, with your permission, what I would like to do is I always like to put a tribute page together for the people I am chatting with. Mm-hmm. I'll link that page up to your website, and then my listeners can go straight from one to the other if they wish.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Peter, thank you very much indeed.
It's a pleasure.
We've really, really all enjoyed that song so much. And as I say, a pivotal memory, and keep the good work. It's absolutely brilliant.
Right. Okay, thanks, Vince.
Peter Starter, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, there we are. Absolutely lovely. Peter Sarstedt, and here's that great song one more time.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like Zizi Jamet. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Yes, there are. You live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where
you keep your Rolling Stones records? Any friend of Sasha Distel? Yes, you do. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head, yes I do. I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on, yes it does. When you go on your summer vacation, you go to Juan-les-Pins with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs, and when the snow falls you're found in Samoritz with the others of the jet set, and you sip your Napoleon brandy, but you never get your lips wet, no you don't. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes I do.